Well, as I mentioned, there's a significant holiday on the Christian calendar coming up. Pop quiz. What is it? Oh, I knew somebody was going to do that. Good Friday. Easter Sunday is coming up, and so we're going to kick off a series this week talking about Jesus and some of the statements that Jesus had to say. And there were a number of times that Jesus used these words. He said, "I am." And if you want to know who Jesus is and how to get to know him, we read his word and we see these statements where he says, "I am this, I am that." And we pay attention because it's a significant drawing of attention to who he is. Who is this Jesus we're celebrating in a few weeks, celebrating his resurrection? What does it mean that he rose from the dead? It's the central focal point of Christianity is that Jesus rose from the dead. And in the few years that he was here on the earth ministering, he had a number of times said, "I am," and followed by some information. And today, I want to dive into one of those statements. We're going to begin in John chapter 8, verse 12. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about these "I am" statements because we want to learn about the character and the nature of Jesus. Who did he testify about himself that he was? Who did he say that he was? Not who does people in our culture say he was? I mean, lots of people believe Jesus existed. Lots of people believe that he was a good man and had some good teachings. But who was he really? How do we reflect on that? How do we remember him? John chapter 8, verse 12. Excuse me. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, Jesus is speaking to, in your Bible, looking at this, this is just following the story of the woman that's caught in adultery. And it continues here. It says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I am the light of the world. Last week I shared with you that I had just visited with my grandfather, who I thought would pass any moment. He did pass last Sunday after I shared that with you. And we celebrated his life yesterday. And, you know, most of us have been through that in some way, shape, or form, where we're taking the time to think about someone's life, all of the stories, the legacy, the personality, and we grieve that, and we think about it, and we celebrate the life and the people that we love, and we often think, you know, you're you just have to deal with those uncomfortable things of a funeral, of a casket, and things like that that aren't always easy to think through or makes you wonder, and we end up thinking about, where is Grandpa now? What's it like for him? I received a gift this Christmas from the Stumbergs, actually. For those of you that know them, I think they're out of state right now. But Jason and I both received a book from BG. He gets us a book about every year around Christmas time of something he's been reading. And this book he got us this year, I haven't had a chance to read it, but he's told me a bit about it, and Jason's been reading it. He can hardly put it down. But it's all these stories of people who have these near-death experiences, where it seems like they are dead for a little bit, and then they come back, and they have stories to tell. And I can be a bit of a skeptic, but when there start to be hundreds and hundreds of stories of people with similar tales to tell, it makes you wonder, what is one of the most predominant things that we hear about from people that have had near-death experiences? It's the light. Don't go towards the light. Can't help it, it's so beautiful. People, when they're on that, I mean, I can't explain it, I don't understand it, but from telling their stories, there's light, and they want to go to the light. Light that they almost can't even really describe and try and find words for. Like they see or hear things that they just can't even quite talk about. There's light. Sometimes imagine, you know, like, is there a tunnel with a light at the end, or is it just bright light? I don't know. a lot of different stories. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I dove into the subject of light this week in my classic nerdy way and discovered that light is electromagnetic radiation. Oh, great, I got out of bed on spring forward to listen to JR give us a science lecture. No, I'm not going to do that this morning, but light is an amazing, amazing thing. It's what enables us to see. It drives all the life of the world. We'll look at those things in a little bit. It's just amazing. I want to read out of the encyclopedia. They do exist online still, yes. And I was just in an article in one of them, it said this: no single answer to the question, what is light, satisfies the many contexts in which light is experienced, explored, and exploited. The physicist is interested in the physical properties of light. The artist in the aesthetic appreciation of the visual world. Through the sense of sight, light is a primary tool for perceiving the world and communicating within it. Light from the sun warms the earth. It drives the global weather patterns. And it initiates the life-sustaining process of photosynthesis. On the grandest scale, light's interactions with matter have helped shape the structure of the universe. Indeed, light provides a window on the universe from a cosmological to atomic scale. Light is an amazing and super important part of our world. In fact, how does the story start out? In the beginning, what does God say? Let there be, yeah, let there be light. And it was good. Light was good. In the very beginning, before he created all life, what did he put into creation? Light. You ever thought about that? I've got to light this place up so I can work on it. But light is so much more than that. It's so fascinating. Like, I don't know, I don't understand how these scientists even could learn these things, but light is in waves, right? And depending on the, remember your sine curve in algebra? You try. I know you tried to forget, but it just keeps coming back to haunt you, doesn't it? Well, like how tight that curve is depends on how your eyes interpret the color. From red to purple just depends on the wavelength of that electromagnetic radiation. Nerd. It's so cool. And did you know that our eyes only perceive just a tiny bit of those waves? There are way more waves beyond what we can see. And so when light hits something and reflects off it, my brain looks at the color and it tells me what color it is. It's amazing. But more than that, think about plants. They make their food, if you could say it that way, out of light. They have to have the light to do that photosynthesis process. And guess what eats plants? In one way, shape, or form, how many of you enjoy being at the top of the food chain? How many of you know who Ron Swanson is from Parks and Recreation? In one scene, they offer him a salad, and he says, "That's the food my food eats." But we all, somewhere down the chain, there are plants. Everything has to get, it's just amazing what God has designed. And it all starts with light. He is the light of the world. If we really think of the vast spectrum, no pun intended, of impact, they're like, come on, that was funny. No, it wasn't. There's so many things that light is important to. And so when Jesus says he's the light of the world, how important is that? John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 says, "In the beginning was the Word," in speaking of Jesus, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God," speaking of Jesus. "All things were made through him, and without him not anything was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men." The life that's in Jesus is the light for mankind. We're going to spend a lot of time in the Gospel of John because John really, more than any of the other Gospels, really focuses in on this idea of Jesus as the light. And in him was life, and that life, we talked about it in our prayer this morning, wanting more life, coming out of a grave, wanting life. It shines from Jesus like light to you and I. And when we're in a really, really dark place, Jesus shines into there and calls us out. He wants to shine into your life this morning. He wants to draw you closer to him. He's the author of life. He wants us to have more life. He leads us into eternal life that comes from him. It shines from him. Are you receiving the light of Jesus today? Are you looking for where he's shining in your life? What's he illuminating? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The world is a dark place. When we don't use that word literally quite, do we? We use it metaphorically. And when we think of light, we think of good. I can see. But when we think of dark, we think of things like evil. I can't see. I can't find my way. Light brings visibility, doesn't it? One of the important characteristics of light is it's you have to have it to be able to see. Have you ever toured the Lewis and Clark Caverns? And you get way down in the belly of the mountain there, and I don't know if they still do this, but they used to do where they'd shut all the lights off. And you cannot see a thing. Like you can wave your hand right here, and you cannot see a thing. Now, how many of you had to control your panic in that moment? Actually, the claustrophobia is worse than the dark, just so you know. When it's totally dark, you cannot see. Light is there to help you see. All right, we got an audio. It's all right, Roger. It's all good, Roger. We can read it. I feel bad for Roger. That's kind of embarrassing. Light brings visibility. It dispels the dark. When things are in the dark, they're undiscernible. You can't see them. You can't tell what it is. When you're a little kid, why are you afraid of the dark? Or an adult? How many of you still have to close your closet door at night? Because somehow there's some mysterious seal that keeps the closet closed? What's the deal? Why are we scared of the dark? We don't know. We can't see. We don't feel safe. We don't know what's there. So we want a night light, or we want to turn the light on so we can see. But let's think about that in terms of our own soul and our own life. Jesus shines light on things that we cannot see. We might not otherwise discern. He comes in and he shines. Sometimes when you're early on with your walk with Jesus, you're just convicted of some basic things. Wow, I should stop doing drugs. That's bad for me. You know? I should stop sinning in this way or that way. And then sometimes as you leave those things behind and you think, okay, I'm good, then the light comes in and shines on something else. You're like, wow, I didn't know that was there. I didn't know I had those character issues. Because we are in a process of transformation all the time, and God's always wanting to shine his light into your heart to help you take the next step to become more and more in the image of his son, the Bible says. You are being transformed. That's why this process of salvation isn't just an event, it's a lifetime journey. And we're walking with God, and he's transforming us day by day, shining his light of life into our being and leading us step after step. We need that illumination. Dark is interesting. Did you know dark is not really... Have you ever think about that? Can you like turn on the dark? Can you do that? There's a Shel Silverstein poem about that. Just thought about it on my way in, so I looked it up for you. The baby bat screamed out in fright, "Turn on the dark, I'm afraid of the light." You can't turn on the dark, can you? Let's think about this for a second. I've talked about this in terms of good and evil. A lot of the world believes that good and evil are equal and opposite forces. I'm sorry, but evil just only exists as a parasite of good. It's not an equal and opposite force. Darkness is the same way. Darkness only exists in the absence of light. It can't impose itself. It has no source. It is only an absence. And actually, it's in terms of relativity to us. Might seem dark to us, but not to some animals that live at the bottom of the ocean, which are creepy, and I'm not going to talk about them anymore. Heat is the same way. Did you know that cold doesn't exist? My wife would disagree with me on this. Cold doesn't really exist. Cold is just a way of us expressing less heat. Heat is the actual energy there. Cold is not an energy. It's just something that we put language to because there's no heat there. But it's not an energy in and of itself. I hope you're following me here a little bit on this. Darkness and light are the same way. God is light. He is life. Jesus is light. He is a source of power and energy that causes all things to exist. Nothing exists without that, without him. It's interesting to think about. In the dark, we're lost. You ever been lost in the dark? Especially out hunting? There have been times where, like, I may not know exactly where I'm at, but I know kind of generally where I'm at least I think so. Kind of scary to be in the dark, lost. You don't know suddenly where you could have seen that bear coming from 100 yards away. You can't see that far now. Things are hidden in the dark, and we can be lost in the dark, and that's true with our lives. When we step out of Jesus' light in our life, we step into the darkness and then try and navigate. When we begin to reject, we talked about the value of obedience last week and how important it is to obey God. When we choose to disobey God, we step into the dark and then hope to find our way. That doesn't work out very well. I want to bring myself into alignment with the light so I can see. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. And this is the judgment. Okay, this is just after John 3:16, famous passage most of us know. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes into the light, so it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out by God. What happens in our lives when we come into the light? If I read a passage of scripture just like this one, does it expose me somehow? Does it call my light, my behavior, my obedience into the light so that who I really am might be clearly seen? That's an uncomfortable thought, isn't it? That sense of exposure. And so when we sin and when we enjoy our sin, we keep it in the darkness and we keep it hidden because we don't want it to be known. It's kind of funny that we know we're not tricking God, but we still do that. We still try and hide in the dark. But when we come into the light, boy, if you've ever just been burdened with guilt and then went and talked to somebody about it and got it out in the light and started processing that with someone, how healing and powerful that is. There's very few sensations in the world that are that relieving. To bring into the light what you've kept hidden in the dark all this time. But we don't do it so that God will then take a baseball bat and deal with us. We do it humbly, asking for his mercy that in our exposure, he will then bring healing, that life. See, light also brings life. Light illuminates so we can see, but light also then brings life. Jesus is the light of the world. Yes, when we follow him, our evil gets exposed. He challenges us to leave our evil kind of things behind. But then he also brings with it life. Begins to produce life inside of us when we walk with Jesus. I'm wondering if you're thinking about anything in the dark in your life. It could be something as basic as just a sin that you always keep hidden, or an addiction or something like that. Maybe it's more complex than that. Maybe it's just some feelings or thoughts that you're not dealing with very well. God wants us to be people of the light. 1 John chapter 5, more John. John got the light thing. Man, he wanted to talk about that. This is a message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light. So Jesus is light. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. This is part of the Christian journey, is allowing that transformation and being in fellowship with one another. One of our values here at the church we talk about frequently is authenticity. I want to be who I really am. I don't want to have to pretend to be like some super Christian for you. I want to be able to go to you and say, hey, I'm struggling, and know that I'm not going to be judged. Reprimanded a little from time to time, maybe. Because we're accountable. We need to be accountable to one another. We need to celebrate with one another. We want to be in the light so that all things can be seen and the life from God can shine on the things that we do. He's our source of that. Another thing about light, I've got a fat little mini dachshund. We're talking fat. I mean, she waddles. And if the sun is shining through our picture window that faces the south, particularly this time of the year, the dog gravitates towards the light and then flaps over sideways, just thunk, in that sunbeam. It's like a magnetic soothing force. How many of you enjoy that same thing? I'm not saying you're fat. I'm just saying you enjoy that. I enjoy that. Why do I? Oh, especially this time of the year where it's like, oh, the long dark of winter and the cloudy, and then the sun shines through my office and I'm just like, I'm debilitated from it. It's amazing. It's warm and comforting. I'll lay on the living room floor right next to my dog if I feel like it, because that heat's coming through and I'm just like, And what happens? I feel safe. I feel comforted. I feel the heat. And that's how Jesus is in our lives too. So he'll shine the light. He'll illuminate the dark places and the dark corners of our hearts. But he does it to bring us out to receive life from him. And in that process, he comforts us. I don't know if Jesus radiates vitamin D, but the sun does. And if I soak that in, that's good for my health. It's good for my mental health. How many studies have we seen about this, right? It's so healthy for us to be in the light, and we can then take that out of the natural and apply it to Jesus because he is the light of the world. Maybe you have a hard time seeing Jesus as comforting while he's illuminating in your life. But think of light. It might get a little hot sometimes. But he shines. And we want to bask in that and receive his comfort. I want to look at Revelation. I'm going to go with chapter 21, verses 22 through 24. And see, here's John again. And he's having this vision, and he's writing it down in the book of Revelation, and we refer to this area of Scripture a lot. Yesterday, the Catholic priest over in Deer Lodge read out of Revelation, same areas of Scripture, for my grandfather's funeral. And it's amazing. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need for sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Wait, what? Kings of the earth will, that's interesting. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. Can you imagine? How do we, I can't, light without sun? A world lit up without a sun? I can't even get my head around it. I don't know what it means exactly. But he is the source of life. I know that. And no night? This place is going to be lit up. Maybe that's why when people are passing away and they don't go all the way over, that's what they see, perhaps. On God's side, light. So much light. No need for a sun. And it makes you think back to when God created the world. Did he have this metaphor in mind? I'll have this natural source of life. We'll put it right here. It'll be the sun and it'll shine on this creation. All knowing that he would be the actual one shining on his people as their source of life. Revelation 22. I'm going to pick up in verse 1 here. I think I have it. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright. There's a light word. Bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life. The what? The tree of life. Remember the Garden of Eden, the tree of life? You could eat from the tree of life back then in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. Not anymore. It was guarded, but Jesus has made a way for you and I to return to that state. The tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. So many ways we can think about this. Jesus said one time, he said, a servant's not greater than his master. And he was talking about being hated by the world, but we follow in the footsteps of our master. You know, when we think of a discipline like, I don't know, karate or something like that, and you have the master, the teacher. You think of Star Wars, you have the master and the apprentice. Jesus is our master. He's the one whose way we follow. Who is he? I am the light of the world. If he is the light of the, and God is the light, Jesus goes on to say something really, really profound in Matthew chapter 5. Speaking of his people, you are the light of the world. Wait a minute, we just got done talking about Jesus. He's bringing illumination. He's bringing life. He's bringing comfort into his creation. He's the source. And yet then he says of us, you are the light of the world. We are like our master in this way. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. That light and that life that radiates from Jesus lives in you. You bring that into your context. You shine in the world in which you live. What are we shining? What are we electromagnetically radiating out there? Is it light? Is it something people can see? Is it a comfort and a life-giving way? Or is it darkness? So that they may see your good works. Good works are okay. Good works are good. We are called to work and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. A couple more passages before we wrap up. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. There are a lot of, it's just funny, there are things in Scripture that we really like to enforce, and then there's other things, I love this command, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Let's just start with that. We'll work on the harder stuff later. You are shining like a light in a crooked and dark world. You are a representative of Jesus. He is your master, if indeed he is. Make him your master. He's the source of all life. He's the light of the world. And we'll finish with this, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the righteous, did you know you're righteous? Not because of what you've done, lest we get a big head about it. We are righteous in God's sight because he cleansed us, even when we didn't deserve it. Jesus is our righteousness. He's the one who set us right, if I could say it that way. We are those who are righteous, not because we do everything perfectly, but because of what Jesus has done for us. And it says, the path of the righteous, the way you and I walk, is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. You and I shine. We're called to shine with Jesus. He's our source. He's the illuminator. He shines in the dark corners of our life, and he wants to sweep out those dark corners and help us. And he's the source of life. We can't survive without taking what he gives us and nourishing ourselves with it, like a plant soaks up the sun. You're called to soak up Jesus, to soak in his ways, to study his word and bask and contemplate, who is God? Who is this wonderful Jesus? And it produces life in us. We're called to be a comfort and a security for others, a light in the world. Would you stand, please? So what's your mission today? Go out and shine. Not in a haughty, arrogant, better than anybody sort of thing, but shine in humility and compassion, reflecting the life of Jesus into the life of others in the world around you. Lord, we thank you for this time and your word this morning. God, I pray that you would be shining in us and through us, that you'd be sustaining us with life, that we could also walk in fellowship with one another and with you, growing and shining in the world around us, helping us leave the dark places of our lives behind and continue to allow you in to bring life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you would like to receive prayer this morning, please hang around. Come over here and visit with our prayer team over here on my left. There should be a few more treats out there on the table for Second Sunday. Go ahead and feel free to finish those off. God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your week.